Strong and wild, wolves once inhabited most of the United States. More than a symbol of wilderness, scientists agree that wolves play a critical role in maintaining healthy ecosystems. By regulating prey population, wolves prevent the overconsumption of vital plant habitats. Their presence indirectly enables plants and trees to flourish, which impacts the survival of songbirds, beavers, pronghorns, and even fish. This ripple effect throughout plant and animal communities can even alter the landscape itself. For this reason, wolves are known as a keystone species. Their presence is vital to the health, structure, and resilience of native ecosystems. But centuries of hunting and trapping have sought to eliminate wolves from the American landscape. And by the mid-1900s, the unremitting slaughter by humans had brought wolves to the brink of extinction. Today, with support from the American public, efforts have begun to right this horrible wrong, to reintroduce and restore these essential creatures to their rightful places in our landscapes, our hearts, and our culture. In 1987, red wolves were restored to their ancestral home in the southeastern United States. In 1995, gray wolves were restored in Yellowstone National Park and northern Idaho.
Conch.
And in 1998, critically endangered Mexican gray wolves were returned to their native range in the Southwest. The Wolf Conservation Center has been part of this effort since 1999. Today, our work is more important than ever. Science has concluded that we have entered an unprecedented period of climate change and human-caused sixth mass extinction. In response to this crisis, the WCC is preparing the next generation to meet environmental challenges using our three-pronged mission of education, recovery, and advocacy. Through our online and offline educational programs, we've taught hundreds of thousands about the true nature of wolves and their importance in ecosystems. We host 15,000 visitors per year and reach millions more through our online presence and advocacy. As a participant in the federal Species Survival Plan for the Mexican gray wolf and the red wolf, we are giving critically endangered wolves a second chance. We help prevent their extinction through research, captive breeding, and recommendations for reintroduction. But our work is far from over. Many challenges remain. Although we've seen an increase in the United States wolf population, we've also witnessed an alarming decrease in their protection. The very policies that afford endangered species protection are under political attack like never before. Wolves continue to be subjected to aggressive hunting and trapping in states where their federal protections have been lifted. Wild Mexican gray wolves face serious recovery challenges that will affect their future success. With less than 30 individuals remaining in the wild, red wolves are being poached closer to extinction every day. The Wolf Conservation Center is working to change that through litigation, testimony in federal hearings, and equipping the public with the knowledge and tools to become better advocates. We won't give up. We believe that no species should have to face extinction at the hands of humanity, much less twice. Every voice raised in support of wildlife and wild places can make a difference. When we all work together, we can effect real change.
Zippy!
We see a world where robust populations of wolves roam wild landscapes across the continent, where no species of wolf cowers on the edge of extinction, and where every child learns of and respects these essential creatures. Now, we need your help. In order to face the challenges of the coming decades, we must rear and release more wolves. Educate more people on their importance in restoring and rebalancing ecosystems, and fight for those policies and protections that will ensure vibrant populations of this keystone species. Join us in making this vision a reality.
All right. Hello, folks. Good intro video, huh? That's good stuff. I love having a good intro video like that. Okay, we got donations that have already come in. Loco, hey, thank you for the sub. Loco with $10. Let me start all the way from the bottom here because there have been several already. Thank you so much. Conch started with $24 and a Twitter link. Deer with $3. Crowway with $10. Warber with $20. A Zippy with $200. Loco with $10. Josh, $8. Coles with $100. Choke with $5, James with $15. This is the tweet that was linked. Thank you very much for this. That's great. $387 already for Wolf Conservation Center. Okay, what's up? Donations are a little bit backed up, but they're coming through. Josh, thank you for the $100 and Zippy with $200. You guys are insane. So if it isn't already abundantly clear today, the podcast is for the Wolf Conservation Center. We get to talk to Regan Downey, who is the Director of Education at the Wolf Conservation Center. They're a nonprofit that promotes wolf conservation by teaching about wolves and their role in the world. This podcast is especially vital. They do really, really great work with the Federal Species Survival Program for recovery of the Mexican gray wolf and the red wolf, both of which are critically endangered. And when I say critically endangered, I mean today in the U.S., there's 163 individuals in the wild of Mexican gray wolves and a single population of 8 known individuals of red wolves in the wild. So Jackson, thank you for the $20, Voyage with $5, Prezo with $3, and Vit with $100. Okay, they're coming through kind of slowly, but I'm reading them off of my alert feed here. Is this camera zoomed in? I was gonna say it looked like very close, didn't it? That's way better. Okay. And Buckethead with $10, Rifter with $10. Thank you so much. So we're talking about wolves today, right? If you want to donate, you can just go through my donate link on Twitch. Their PayPal is linked up to my Twitch account, so it'll go straight to them today, which is the way I like to do it. I'm very happy with that. We hit our $500 donation goal, which is insane. Koopa Steve was $77.77. Said my state voted to reintroduce wolves this past November. People, awesome. All right, Koopa, that's dope. Danzo with $25, James Harden with $5, P. Fenny with $10, Thomista with $20. This is nuts. Okay. If you guys want to donate, again, it's going straight to the Wolf Conservation Center today. Thank you so much, Koopa Steve. Oh, here we go. Okay. Now they're catching up, and there's another one, Tipsy Nomad, also tips $77.77. Okay, so a couple logistical things for the podcast before we call Regan up. Number one is if you have a question, you can do #ask followed by your question. It will be sent into a document so that I can read them out. We have a lot of pictures and videos today that Regan sent me, so we can go through those. They're really, really cool. I'll probably just try to include them in our conversation as we go. So we have those. There will be a quiz at the end of the podcast based on my conversation with Regan. If you win the quiz and you do that by getting answers right and getting them right quickly, then you get a gifted sub to my channel if you're not already subbed. And if you are already subbed, then I gift you a sub to a channel of your choice, or you can ask me to donate an additional $5 to Wolf Conservation Center. And they're catching up. Tipsy Nomad was $77.77. That brings us to $755.54 before we've called our guest up. Okay, one last thing that we have to do before we call Regan is thank Gray Panther for his $20 donation. Thank you very much. But before we call Regan, let's do that poll. Okay, so... holy crap. Cow. Void tipped $201. Wide people happy, wolves are my favorite. Void with the $200 dono. Vora Vinci with $3. Silentify with $10. Said I don't need to eat out tomorrow for the wolfies. That's lovely, thank you. Jateau with $50. Oh my gosh. Jateau with $50, Crash and Burn with $5, Raptor with $5.57, and Amandra with $3. Now we're well over our $1,000 dono. I think that might be a record before we call our guest. That's insane. And also a bunch of subs scattered in there. So thank you so much if you subbed between there. I know I don't read subs out, but I see them. So thank you. The poll is running. Okay, how much do you care about conservation of wolves? Great. Okay, so this one's a little bit different here. 41% of you gave it a 4. 40% of you gave it a 5. It's extremely important to you. 13%, it is neutral. 4% said that they don't care. And 1% gave it a 2. So that is great information. I will keep that for the end of the podcast when we rerun the same poll and we see if your opinions changed after I have this conversation. So I did tell her that it would be about 15 minutes after the hour Raptor with the 5. Okay, so we're caught up. Almost caught up. Darce with $3 and Mac always donating to the podcast with $5 and a heart. Thank you so much. M Law with $10. You guys, I am going to be right back with Regan so we can tell her what we've done. Am I missing anything? Angela with $3. Again, if you want to ask a question, do hashtag ask followed by your question, nothing fancy. I will read the questions to her as we go. Otherwise, we'll be looking at a lot of pictures, videos, and just having a conversation about what they do over there. Vit with another $100. We're like 4 donations behind, but Vit donated $100 and SMK tipped $50. Said this place is 10 minutes from me. Love to support local conservation. Thranduil with $20. Jeez. All right. I will be back. I will be back with our guests. All right. Sketty with 5. Thank you. Pyro with 10. Thank you. Vanderlark with 50. I will be right back with our guest, okay, folks? Hold tight, and I will read out the rest of the donations when I'm back. Actually, I've read them up until now. This is nuts. Give me a minute. They're catching up. Mina with 10.
Sure, I didn't realize it wasn't on. So I'm going to show my lack of knowledge.
That's okay. It's the leftmost button. It has a little camera icon. Perfect. All right. Let's see if we can. Whoa. All right. Hold on 1 second. We have a couple things to fix here. Okay, fixed one of them, and we fixed the other one. All right, we're all set. Hello, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, me.
We have accumulated a lot of donations before we've even started. So I'm going to read out the rest of them from when I was gone. Scott with $3, Rammer with $59, Devil with $3, and Presso with $5. And then Side Effect with 20. So in the intro and these donos that I just read, we've raised $1,393.66. So
wow,
that's pretty amazing. But let's talk to them about what we're raising that money for. If you want to introduce yourself and then tell us about the Wolf Conservation Center, that would be great.
Sure. So hi, everyone. And thank you so much for all of your really generous donations. That's absolutely amazing. My name is Regan Downey, and I'm the Director of Education at the Wolf Conservation Center. The Wolf Conservation Center is a not-for-profit located in South Salem, New York. For reference, that's about an hour outside of New York City. And we are promoted or dedicated to promoting wolf conservation across North America and really across the world as well. But we do this specifically in kind of a three-pronged mission. So we work to protect and preserve wolf populations by teaching people about wolves and using really, you know, cutting-edge science and really exposing people to what wolves actually are. We also participate in two federally run recovery programs for critically endangered red wolves and for endangered Mexican gray wolves. And the goal of these programs is to really eventually release these wolves into the wild. We firmly believe that if there's a place in the wild for wolves, they shouldn't be in captivity. And then we also strive to mobilize our supporters and give them tools they can use to help save wolves on their own time. So whether it's calling one of their representatives or completing an action alert, or even something as simple as talking to friends and family about what wolves actually are, all of that really goes towards helping protect and preserve wolves. And so we're really fortunate that we are able to reach people online in various ways. And in a quote normal year, we also offer on-site programming as well. So visitors are actually able to come and see some wolves. And that really does a huge service towards dispelling a lot of those myths and misunderstandings about wolves that people tend to have.
Yeah, for sure. So can you tell us about the species survival program or survival plan and what you guys do with that?
Definitely. So to kind of break it down before we get into kind of the nitty gritty of it. So in North America, and specifically the lower 48 states, there are two species of wolf that are recognized. There are red wolves and there are gray wolves. Gray wolves are the type of wolf that everyone's probably most common with. They're also found in Europe and Asia as well. And they're the most wide ranging species of wolf in the world. But red wolves are a really unique and very endangered species of wolf. They are very similar in appearance to coyotes, for reference, if anyone's familiar with coyotes. But they are a unique type of wolf, and there are currently only 8 known to remain in the wild.
Jeez.
And so they actually belong, I know it's horrible, and so they actually belong to something called a species survival plan. And species survival plans are designed to really save animals from the brink of extinction. And it's a combination of the federal government working with state agencies and various, scientific advisors and other groups that kind of have skin in the game. But then they work with facilities like ours that actually can house and care for these wolves in captivity. And the ultimate goal is creating a very diverse, genetically robust, healthy population in captivity, and then releasing those wolves into the wild so they can perform valuable ecological roles. So we have both red wolves and Mexican gray wolves at our center. Mexican gray wolves are a type of gray wolf or a subspecies, and they're native to the southwestern United States and northern Mexico. And so both of these types of wolves live at our center as part of these recovery programs. And we care for these wolves, which means we essentially feed them or provide food for them and give them water and shelter. Mm-hmm. And then for the rest of it, they're pretty much on their own, maintaining those wild, elusive behaviors. Because again, the whole point of these recovery efforts and these recovery programs is to release these captive wolves into the wild. And the best way for a wolf to live in the wild is to be very cautious and very wary of humans,
right.
Which by nature wolves are. And so that's really the goal of these programs. But there's a lot of other aspects, captive breeding, different things like that. So not quite sure which direction is the most interesting to viewers, but happy to discuss.
Yeah. We'll find out when we get to some of the questions. I've been clicking through some of the pictures and videos that you've sent. Also, we got another $20 from So and from Waldo. We got 10 and William with 20. So we're at 1,473 plus 5 from Christy. Thank you. Yeah, these pictures and these videos are absolutely wonderful. I'm trying to figure out which one. So maybe... Did you send pictures of your ambassador wolves? Maybe we can talk about that program too. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which ones?
Yeah, so their names are Zephyr, Alewa, and Nakai.
Great.
So we do have what we call ambassador wolves. So one of the best things about our center, which we wouldn't be able to accomplish without these ambassador wolves, is that we're actually able to show people what a wolf looks like. and they're able to form a really strong connection with an animal they otherwise most likely would never see. Wolves are so shy. If you were to go out looking for wolves in the wild, if you were to go out to, you know, up to Canada, there's a very good chance you wouldn't ever see a wolf because they would run away from you. Mm-hmm. They'd hide. And for a lot of people, if they're not seeing that animal, they're not really forming that connection, but they also might not even care at all because it's just not something that's part of their everyday life. And luckily with our ambassador wolves, these wolves are captive born and they're not red wolves. They're not Mexican gray wolves. They're just kind of gray wolves and they actually can't live in the wild because they're captive born. So we figured if they can't live in the wild, they can live at our center. They can have a great life. They can live with each other. They're all siblings. But they can also really make the wild that much safer for wild wolves because they're serving as representatives, as ambassadors, and helping to educate the entire world.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. And so we do have three ambassadors. We have two brothers and their sister. So the oldest would be Zephyr and Aleoa.
I have a video of Aleoa rolling right now. It's so cute.
Yes, Aleoa is quite the character. And something that's so great about having these ambassador wolves is we really get to learn their unique personalities. And they've really established like cult followings. Aleoa has gone viral on YouTube a few times, yeah, thanks to Reddit posts.
Nice.
Yeah, so these guys really have a huge following. And then if we post a new video about Aleoa, people already know who she is and they're commenting about her. And so through our ambassadors, we're really able to just show people wolves and everyone loves, well, should love wolves. And so our ambassador wolves really help that happen. But yeah, so Aleoa is 9 years old. She's actually turning 10 in April. Mm-hmm. And she is the only female in our ambassador wolf trio. Mm-hmm. But she's really incredible.
This is a picture of her in Zephyr chat. That's what we're looking at right now.
Nice. So Zephyr and Aleoa are litter mates. So wolves give birth to a litter of pups in the spring. Mm-hmm. And Zephyr, you'll notice, has a different coat color. Mm-hmm. He has more of a blackish gray coat, and that's perfectly fine. They're still the exact same type of wolf. They're still siblings. It's kind of similar to human hair color. You might look slightly different from a sibling, but you have the exact same genes.
Yeah.
And so he's 9 as well. And actually, when people hear that 9 years old, they either think one of two things. They either think these wolves are children, or they think, wow, these wolves are really old. Uh-huh. And in fact, they kind of fall somewhere in the middle. So if they were wild wolves, they would be considered old aged. The average lifespan of a wolf in the wild is only about 4 to 6 years.
Oh.
Yeah, they have a lot of challenges that they encounter. Starvation, hunting, a lot of states and countries have pretty rampant wolf hunting. But it's also, you know, challenging to find food. They fight with other wolves, but in centers like ours, where they're not dealing with any of those outside pressures, they can live to be, you know, 15, 16 years old. So these guys are actually kind of right in the prime of their lives. They're fully grown, And it is interesting, though, to compare that at age range, because it really puts things into perspective.
Yeah. So that's a good segue into going on to talking about why they're at risk in the wild, or why their numbers have become so depressing.
Yeah.
So there's poaching. What are habitat loss? Maybe what are the main reasons that they're having such a hard time in the wild?
The biggest reason is definitely humans. Mm-hmm. And killing of wolves. So wolves actually were listed as endangered in the 1970s because centuries of persecution caused their populations to really hover on the brink of extinction. And even still today, their numbers have grown. There are about 7,000 wolves or so living across the lower 48 states. Mm-hmm. But they still deal with hunting. Many states have hunting seasons. Many states are trying to bring back hunting seasons. Habitat is, of course, a concern really for any type of species, In order for a population to grow, there needs to be ample room for it to expand. Mm-hmm. And that's a challenge, especially because wolves have really particular areas that are best suited for them. So they don't like living near people. You know, they're not quite as readily able to adapt to living in more urban areas like a coyote would be able to. But really right now, I would say humans are the biggest factor. In terms of kind of everyday challenges for wolves, the leading cause of death is fighting with other wolves. Mm. But that's kind of a natural mortality. Whereas humans are really putting a lot of pressure on wolves that really the species wasn't designed to deal with.
Okay. So Holmes tipped $14, Major with 20, KZ with 20, Morgan with 20 as well. 289 with $6, said I was just going to spend it on video games anyway. It's very nice. And Top with 20, so we're at $1,578.66. So speaking of the fighting, there have been lots and lots of questions that have to do with social structure. So Leda asked, do wolves have a social structure and is it very important for their conservation?
So social structure is a really popular topic among wolves. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are familiar with the term alpha or alpha wolf. And scientists did use that term quite frequently, but as they've learned more about wolves, so the idea being that there's an alpha male and an alpha female in every group or every wolf pack. But as they learned more about wolves and observed them, they realized the term was kind of redundant because alpha really is just what the parents are. So in a wolf family, you have mom and dad and you have children, children of varying years or litters. And so you would have what's called a multi-generational pack. You would have mom, dad, older siblings, younger siblings. And they would all work together to protect one another, to help find food. They would sleep together, play together. And so I think as we've learned more about wolves, we've realized that their social structure is quite fluid. But at the end of the day, they're really just a family. So scientists now instead refer to wolves as, you know, the parents are the breeding pair. Mm-hmm. Or the dominant male and female.
Okay.
Because they're really just breeders.
That makes sense. Yeah, there were questions about that word alpha as well. Okay, and then another question that I guess is similar because it's about myth debunking maybe is Carmel asked, do wolves actually care about the full moon?
So that's a great question. We totally play it up. We do full moon events and they sell out very quickly, but no. There is no real known correlation between wolves and, you know, if they see the full moon, are they immediately going to start howling? No. Scientists do suspect, though, if you notice an increase in wolf activity during a full moon, they believe that it could be just that as the full moon is up in the sky, it's making everything appear much lighter and brighter. Mm-hmm. And by nature, wolves are crepuscular, which means they are typically more active at dawn and dusk. And so this full moon might make them think it's time to be a bit more active. So there's no real link between the two, but scientists do have kind of their ideas about why, if there's an increase in activity, it could be. But wolves actually will howl for a lot of different things. They'll be awake at different times, depending on what's going on. So they don't need a full moon in order to exhibit any particular behaviors.
Okay. And then Crowley just asked, what can they communicate through howling? Or what kind of vocalizations do they have and how do they communicate with each other?
So that's a great question. So wolves have verbal and nonverbal ways of communicating. Of course, howling is, I think, the most popular. Mm-hmm. And wolves do howl quite a bit. It can be a really great form of long distance communication. They can hear howls across open terrain up to about 10 miles away. And every wolf has their own distinct voice, just like we all have our own voices.
Yeah.
And so they can actually recognize family members based on howls.
Oh, cool.
And so it can be a really great way of, you know, if a wolf is coming back and found food. You know, it can, so they can communicate pretty much anything with those howls. But they also will howl, as we've seen in videos, when they're right next to each other as well. And in that case, they're most likely not howling to convey anything of like crucial importance, but scientists think when they're howling together, as a really close knit family, it's just kind of like social glue. And so it's strengthening their bonds together. To put it in a very like cheesy term, it's kind of like singing around a campfire. It's bringing you closer together, giving you a feeling of camaraderie with the people you're with. Mm-hmm. And so it translates over into that for wolves as well. But howls are really complex. Scientists aren't quite able to figure out exactly what each howl means. There are certain noises that are used only at certain times. So for example, dogs bark a lot for a lot of different reasons, mm-hmm. but with wolves, a bark usually serves as more of like an alarm call or danger. And so actually something I can relate it to, at our center, we have enclosures. So we have 10 different enclosures where wolf families live. And a few years ago, we had a family of red wolf pups living with their parents. And these pups were super tiny, you know, only a few months old, and they were playing in their enclosure. Mm-hmm. And they didn't realize that people were closer to them than they should be, still behind a fence. But typically, you know, they get one whiff of people and they run and scatter. And they just weren't aware that we were there. And actually a Mexican, so a different species that was living in the next enclosure, actually started to bark, both as a way to kind of hopefully, you know, scare the people away and be very intimidating, but it also served to alert the pups to danger. Mm-hmm. And so they actually quickly picked their heads up, realized people were there, and then they ran away. So barking is used, hopefully not a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's really fascinating to see how they can rely on those different vocalizations, to communicate these different things.
Got it. That's so cool. I played a couple videos of howling while you were talking there. This, you guys have incredible content on your YouTube channel. I'm gonna link it to you guys. Hold on. It's like super, super well made. Here you go, chat. We've had a couple more donations that have come through. Doc with $9.95. Prezo with another $5. Lots with $50. Bug with $5. Goosey with $5. So we're at $1,653.61. One of the questions that I liked on here, because you were talking about babies, is Sketty asked, what steps do you take to ensure wolves in captivity can be safely released and survive in the wild?
Awesome question. And it's something that's really important as well. So because we belong to those two recovery programs, one for red wolves and one for Mexican gray wolves, mm-hmm. every red wolf and Mexican gray wolf that lives either at our center or at another facility in the U.S., there's also some Mexican gray wolves that live at facilities in Mexico as well. But they are all treated as though they could be released into the wild, you know, tomorrow.
Right.
So we're very hands off with all of our wolves that belong to those programs. And we feed them what they'd be eating in the wild, which means we actually collect roadkill deer mm-hmm. from the surrounding area. And we feed that to the wolves roughly about once a week or so. That's about how often wolves might eat in the wild on average. And we want to give them what they'd be finding in the wild. So we don't want to give Mexican gray wolves, for example, if they're going to be released into Arizona and New Mexico, we don't want them eating beef at our facility. Right. Because if they're released into the wild and they're sharing the landscape with cows and livestock, we don't want them associating those animals with food or assuming that's their only food source.
Yes.
So we will feed kind of native prey, so that roadkill deer. It's a great way to clean up the roads around our center. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of nature's recycling system as well. But so we give that to the wolves. It's also really great for their gut health. And feeding wolves whole carcass food has actually been found to be better than other methods of feeding wolves in captivity, like kibble or carnivore logs, which are literally mm-hmm. a log filled with like nutrients. So it's actually better for their guts to give them whole carcass. So we do that. And that ensures that they're eating what they would eat in the wild. And it's also great for pup development as well, because they can play with the bones and the skin, but it really helps them kind of learn what it is they should be doing. And then we also give the wolves water every few days. They have these water buckets. In the winter, they're actually heated so they don't freeze. And then other than that, the wolves are pretty much on their own. We are required to do health checks every fall. So in that case, we are more hands-on just because we have to assess the health of these animals.
Right.
But if they're having pups, they're raising the pups on their own. We don't do anything with the pups beyond initial health checks throughout their kind of initial growth period. So we try to be as hands-off as possible. And that's actually why we rely on our live streaming webcams.
Yes. That's a great thing to talk about too. You guys have live cams.
Yeah. So we have 40 wolves on site. I should have mentioned that earlier. We have our three ambassadors. We have 21 Mexican gray wolves and 16 red wolves. And they can all be watched on those cameras. Each enclosure has at least two. An enclosure camera and a den camera. So in case they're sleeping inside their den. But because we have those cameras, we can actually be very hands-off because we can watch the wolves remotely. We can do head counts. If one wolf appears to be limping, we can zoom in a bit. And so we can better inform ourselves before actually, needing to go check. And it's just another way to keep those wolves kind of as off exhibit and as elusive as possible.
That's so neat. And you guys have started a Twitch channel as well where those cams are always on. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Yeah. So we recently started or joined Twitch. We have a pretty substantial social media following and other platforms, but we're always looking for ways to reach new audiences. And Twitch is great for that and for live streaming video. So we figured we know there's a lot of people who are really into wildlife and animals and conservation, and hopefully we could meet them halfway by bringing in our wolf cams.
That's amazing.
And it's also something that it's so unique that we were hoping it would just really resonate with a lot of people.
All right, chat, it's being linked. Their channel is being linked. So you can do command.org if you want to be taken to their website, and then it'll get you to their Twitter and Instagram as well. And then Space and Chuck have both linked their Twitch channel, so go follow that. That's very cool. Bad Wolf tipped $20. Kranz tipped $60. Leonard with $10. Hill tipped $20. James tipped $10. So we're at $1,773.61, which is amazing. Thank you. And I'm looking at all the questions, seeing where we can go next, because there are so many. A lot of people have asked about wolves and livestock, if what the most humane way is to get wolves to stay away from your livestock, things of that nature.
Yeah, so that's a really great question. And thank you to everyone for kind of thinking in that vein. So really the best way to keep wolves away from livestock is through what are called non-lethal methods or non-lethal deterrents. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, in a lot of areas where there is wolf-livestock conflict, you have people that want to handle the conflict by killing wolves. This is not the answer. And it's been proven by scientists countless times that if you're killing wolves to stop livestock attacks, you're actually going to increase livestock attacks. We just talked about how wolves are families. Mm-hmm. And if you're killing these members of a family, you're kind of creating a chaotic environment. And you might have wolves that maybe leave home earlier than they would otherwise, or they're breeding. And so you kind of create this unstable, chaotic system, and it in turn leads to increases in livestock attacks. But we also need to remember that a lot of areas where we do see these interactions, the livestock are actually grazing on public lands. So national forests or just different, huge, vast expanses of land, Forest Service land, where wolves are a natural animal that should be living there. And so sometimes it requires maybe shifting our mindsets a bit to thinking about which animal is the one that's kind of causing the problem? Is it the wolves who are living where they're meant to live and are consuming prey? Or is it this animal that's domestic and it's really profiting an industry that's using public lands, typically for a very cheap grazing fee? But the best way, if you do have conflict with wolves, it's important to deal with the conflict quickly and in a variety of ways. Okay. So something that is used quite a bit is range riders. Mm-hmm. So range riders are individuals on horseback, sometimes ATV, and they will essentially serve as a human presence around livestock. And because wolves are so afraid of people, the human presence, you know, will usually keep them away. There's also phylactery, which is stringing long like rope with flags on it. Mm-hmm. And the flags will, you know, flap in the wind, and that will scare wolves away. Someone actually, some of you might even have seen it. It was in the news a lot. A few years ago, there is a rancher out in Oregon who's been or had been experiencing some wolf attacks on his livestock. And he was actually given one of those big kind of tube men that you see at like used car lots. And so it was waving in the wind, and it was actually scaring the wolves away. So really new objects, new noises, anything loud that's really gonna startle them is great, because wolves are actually afraid of new things. So you really need to be introducing a lot of new new deterrents to really scare these wolves away and encourage them not to come back. Mm-hmm. But again, it's also important to look at what we're doing. And so we can only ask so much of wolves, because they're wild animals. They're meant to live on these landscapes. And so it's also important to see if we're doing things that could be causing problems. So if you are... if you have your, you know, head of cattle, if a cow dies, are you just leaving that cow there? Because that could attract more predators. And so it's important to be thinking of carcass removal and not letting out livestock that are too young. You know, if you just have, if a cow just gave birth, she really shouldn't be in the middle of this really rugged national forest. She should be, you know, much closer to human settlements. And so that's something to think about as well. Non-lethal doesn't just mean what can we do to keep and control the wolves. It can also mean what can we do to better inform our cow.
Yeah.
And so something some scientists and ranchers are actually working together to do is actually they're trying to change the behavior and movements of cattle. So rather than kind of scattering when they're chased by a predator, kind of having them revert back to what are considered to be like natural herd instincts, where they come together as a group, and that makes them much more, much stronger. And it can be a bit more intimidating for wolves to locate a weaker individual, or try to break through that. So they're trying to, kind of reset how livestock act in certain areas as well.
Okay. Anonymous tip 43.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I just want to mention also something super simple that I just didn't mention. Guard dogs are good too.
Okay. A lot of people are asking. That was actually going to be my next question. So.
Oh, okay. Great.
Anonymous tip $43. Zen tip 50. Wujito with 20. So we're at $1,886.78. Okay. So speaking of wolf human conflict, kind of a harder question, but a lot of people have asked about the hybrids, about wolf-dog hybrids, about wolves as pets. Can you give us your position on that?
Sure. So my position might not be super popular with people maybe who are asking the questions, but wolves are not meant to be kept as pets, mm-hmm. and neither are hybrids. So something that's really interesting with wolves, coyotes, dogs, they are very closely related.
Okay.
And we actually see that they can breed and they can produce viable offspring. And so that's something that's pretty unique, because usually what one of the many definitions of what makes a species is really, you know, a group of animals that can't breed outside of that group. But wolves, dogs, and coyotes can all breed together, and then their offspring can also continue breeding. And it's just a very challenging situation that can occur. Mm-hmm. Hybridization, of course, does happen in the wild. Eastern coyotes that we have along the Northeast in the United States actually have a mix of, you know, gray wolf, Eastern wolf, domestic dog, mm-hmm. Western coyote DNA. And so those are from, you know, past cases of slight, you know, genetic mixing among individuals. But to actually take a wolf and a dog and to breed hybrids, it's asking for a really unfortunate situation. These animals are not meant to be really living in captivity, but you're kind of putting them in kind of a halfway area between two worlds, because they're not fully domesticated. They're not dogs,
right?
But they're not fully wild. And so they're just kind of stuck in the middle.
Yeah, for sure.
And usually you see a lot of these animals, they eventually end up being surrendered to wolf dog sanctuaries that will take in animals that people usually intend to keep as pets and then realize they actually can't provide for these animals that can be quite large or just have the really wild nature. So I don't recommend it. Really not the best thing for the animal. And I think that's what we would all want to use as our guidelines when making decisions for what we keep as pets. Mm-hmm. So we always recommend instead adopting a dog.
Nice. I love that.
Yeah.
Top dog to $15 and or with $30. Thank you. Yeah, I work with a lot of ambassadors on my stream as well. So it can be a tough thing to balance that, like, you know, you want them to fall in love with them, but you also don't want them to want one type thing. So
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I totally get that. My community is very familiar about hearing speeches about that. Okay, let's see. What other good questions do we have? Some more fun questions, I guess. Let's talk about some more fun stuff. A lot of people have asked, do you have a favorite species, which is kind of a hard question? And two, do you have any fun facts that you like to share?
Favorite species, I noticed it wasn't specified if I have a favorite wolf species. So I will share one of my favorite species
okay.
that's not a wolf,
okay.
and then I will go.
That's fine.
So I really like cranes.
Interesting. All right.
I just think they're really elegant. And in terms of a favorite wolf species, it changes. I feel like every day. I think wolves are just so fascinating, even just as a whole mix of species, just because of how team oriented they are. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that a lot of us tend to forget, you know, in our busy lives. We tend to become very focused on ourselves or just succeeding as an individual. And with wolves, it's really about succeeding as a team and as a family.
Right.
And so that really resonates with me. So that is why I like wolves. They are also very intelligent. Much, much smarter than dogs, than we would really ever give them credit for. But if I had to pick a wolf species that I think is really cool, scientists are trying to get this animal declared to be a unique species of wolf, but there are wolves known as Himalayan wolf, and they're actually specially adapted to live at high altitude levels with low oxygen. So that's what I think is really cool.
Wow.
Yeah, we actually, we have a, web on our website. We have, a series of scientific webinars where we host scientists from around the world that are doing mainly wolf research. And we offer these webinars for free as a way to educate, the public, and really have this kind of one-on-one interaction with a scientist. Mm-hmm. And we actually had, the scientist who's really spearheading a lot of the Himalayan research on our series two years ago, maybe last year. And so that's on our website. So if anyone else thinks Himalayan wolves sound really cool, you could certainly find that recording on our site and listen to it as well.
You guys have so many cool educational resources on your website. There's special events, virtual programs, school education programs. There are like birthday parties, offsite programs, sleeping with the wolves. How cool is that? Yeah, so if you guys ever get the chance to go visit this facility, you absolutely should. Danny tipped $11. Paz tipped $20. Thank you guys so much. So then the other question was, do you have any fun facts about wolves that you like to share?
Really, it's just kind of trying to decide.
Which one?
Yeah. Well, so we can actually... I always think this is really cool. It's maybe not what the people think of when they ask for like a cool fact, but wolves are really specially adapted to live in really extreme environments. Mm-hmm. And it's something I think that even we forget to touch on, just because we look at a wolf and we see its body and we're like, wow, this wolf is amazing. But like their feet act like snowshoes in the winter. And we were actually remarking on this yesterday. We were on site and we just had a huge snowstorm here a few days ago. And the snow is kind of frozen just enough where you think you might be able to walk on top of it, but then you actually step on it and you plunge right through. But with wolves, because they have those larger feet and it's able to help disperse their weight a bit, they can actually balance on top of the snow. Mm-hmm. And so they're not going to really be plunging through as much, which gives them an advantage over prey. So they can, have a bit of a leg up over like deer and moose and elk in the deep snow of winter when those animals are sinking through to the ground. So that's something that's really cool. I'm trying to think what else. Wolves have, so the wolves are born with blue eyes, but as they grow older, their eyes eventually transition from like a blue to a green, and then they'll usually settle somewhere in like the amber yellow family. Mm-hmm. And what's actually really neat, and even if there's like a picture of Zephyr or something that can be brought up, just mm-hmm. or really any of the wolves, just to show their eyes, because you'll look at their eyes and they're very light colored, and so they stand out a lot against their face.
Right.
And that's actually one way to tell really how social an animal is. Because if their eyes need to be super visible to members of their family, mm-hmm. They want to be able to communicate with their eyes a lot, or communicate non-verbally. And wolves do actually communicate a lot with their eyes, and with, you know, the rest of their body. Body language is huge. And so what I just think is really cool about wolves is looking at their bodies and how every single inch of them is built with a very specific purpose in mind.
Yeah.
Which I just think is really neat.
Cool. That's neat. Cindy with $5. Thank you so much. Okay. And then we got about 4 minutes until we've hit an hour here, but just for my audience, cause they're on the younger side and I get this question or these kinds of questions all the time. How did you get into this and how could they get into something similar if they want to work with animals or wolves or, you know, or anything?
Right. Yeah. So I actually have wanted to work with wolves since I was six.
Okay. Cool.
So I read a book in school called Julie of the Wolves by Jean Craighead George, and became fascinated with wolves and actually was lucky enough to live close enough to where I work now that I was actually able to go for a field trip in fourth grade. And it was my very first time ever seeing wolves. And then I actually had my birthday party there, a few months later. Yeah. I studied biology. So I'm a biologist by training, but really enjoyed, educating the public and realizing that for some people, science can be very intimidating and not very accessible.
For sure.
And, really wanted to help bridge the gap and communicate that. But what I think is important to keep in mind, a lot of people will say, you know, get experience and that's everything you need. And experience is great, but it can also be really hard to get experience in the wildlife field because it's very restrictive as to who even can get the experience,
right?
Because you might not be able to take an unpaid internship for an entire year, mm-hmm. Because you're paying off student loans or you're, you know, needing to work a second job. So yes, experience is great. And I don't want people to say experience isn't necessary. because I also don't want people to think you have to go to college. You know, there's, you don't have to do one thing or the other mm-hmm. to break into a field. If you're able to go to college and want to, great. If you're able to work and not make a lot of money, great. But there does need to be even just a mix of things. Even if you have a full-time job, but there's a nature center near you and you just want to get experience handling wild animals a mm-hmm. bit more. That's a great thing to do on the weekends. But really, I would say make sure you're learning. And that doesn't need to be school learning or like experiential in the field learning. It can just be reading or staying up to date with what's going on with wolves and wildlife. And also try networking. If you have a really, if you're focused on a really cool species, maybe reach out to people in the field, see if they can offer tips and tricks and advice, and maybe you can get your foot in the door. So I guess that would be my advice, but also never give up, because I had a lot of people tell me that there was no way I was going to work with wolves. Mm-hmm. And I should say, I don't even work with wolves. I like to say we work for them. Mm-hmm. Laughing now, so
that's great.
I think it's just important, if you have a goal, just fight for it.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. Okay. Aki with $5, Tipsy with 33. So we hit our 2K goal now. We're at $2,005.86. So the last question that I'll ask you, that I like to ask all of my guests, is if they're not volunteering or they're not working in conservation, what is something, or what are things that the average person can do to support the conservation of wolves?
That is such a great question. So there are a lot of things you can do to help wolves. Tell friends and family about them. If you learn something new about wolves, if you realized wolves aren't scary, wolves are actually more afraid of you, tell someone else, because we kind of assume that people are operating at the same level of information as we are, which isn't always the case. If you live in a state or a country that has wolves and they're being persecuted, speak up for them. Your voice is infinitely much louder than someone else's because you live in that area. Mm-hmm. But don't let that stop you from speaking up. So for example, New York State doesn't have any wolves. We haven't had a wolf here a permanent population of wolves in over 100 years. Mm-hmm. But we still speak up for wolves elsewhere, because even showing broad public support is much better than not saying anything at all. You need to show that you care about these animals. Or if you have a really special skill, that can really help. So for example, we have an organization that will actually fly wolves for rescue purposes. They're typically structured to fly dogs and cats, mm-hmm. but they actually reached out to us a few years ago when we needed to fly a wolf from North Carolina up to our center in New York, and they actually volunteered to fly him.
Yeah, that's a great teaser, you guys.
Yeah, and so there's just a lot of things that, if you're really skilled at something, see if you can maybe tweak that to help wolves. But even if you visit our website as well, we do have a take action page where we give you ways to speak up for wolves, tips for reaching out to a representative if you're unsure of where to start. But I think as long as you're looking at the world and trying to think, how can I make this better for wolves or for wildlife in general, that's always the best way to start, is just be more, just make more conscious actions about creating a better world for everyone.
Great. Okay, E-tip $15 and Cal-tip $20, so we're at $2,040.86. I think that'll do it for the questions. At some point through our conversation, I clicked through about half of the videos and most of the pictures, so they got to see a lot of it, which is really great. Thank you so much for your time today. This was really, really cool. I'm super happy that we got to have you guys on.
And thank you to everyone for donating and for learning about wolves. It's really appreciated. So hopefully we'll be able to continue to build on this relationship when we're on Twitch as well.
Great. Yeah. And go follow their Twitch channel. That's awesome. I'll put you guys on my on my auto host, which just means that if I'm not live, then I'll be hosting your channel. So hopefully that brings you some new viewers as well.
Awesome.
And then after this, we do a poll now every week on this podcast, where at the beginning we ask how much people care initially about the conservation, and then we do it at the end too. So I'll send you guys that. That's usually pretty interesting. So
yeah, thank you.
Okay, well, I'll be in touch via email. Thank you so much. It was so nice to meet you.
Great meeting you too. Bye,
everyone. Bye. Yay! She's so nice. That was so cool. Yay, new auto host. $2,040.86. Amazing. Via email. Yeah, you know, it's been a little while since we've had just an organization with someone representing that organization, as opposed to, you know, a person or someone through Twitter that I've met that is funding an organization that's separate from them. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that's really cool. I'm pretty happy that we got to do that today. Feels really good. So $2,040 is already going straight to them. Let's see if I can do the quiz now that we're doing it this way, without, if you want me to edit. No, I trust you. Check, we're good. Let's see if I can do the, holy crap. Botox with $209.14. Thank you so much. An Earth eclipse with $20. Thank you. $2,270 flat. That's insane. Botox and Earth, thank you so much. Okay, we're just gonna... Okay, here's the CSV file. Let's see if I can do this while I'm talking to you guys about how that podcast went. What do you guys think? Did you learn a lot? I think that was a good one. That one's super important. I knew that wolves were critically endangered in the U.S. I didn't know how few of them there actually were in the wild. That's kind of crazy. Do you want to do the poll before or after the quiz? What do you guys think? Should we do it before? Before. Yeah, sure. Okay, let's run the poll. That's good. Let's run the poll while I'm creating this quiz. That'll actually make it easier for me. Okay, so we ran a poll at the beginning that said, snack with $50 said, hope I'm not too late to the party. You're not. Thank you so much. How much do you care about the conservation of wolves? That was at the beginning. Now we're running it again to see if your mind's changed a little bit after the podcast itself. It's after the podcast itself. Okay, set questions. Import questions, upload your CSV. Here. Nope, not that. And it'll be in download. Hold on, this is gonna take me a... Amazing. Okay, holy crap. Vader tipped $77.77. Save the wolves. Thanks, ruthless nonprofit woman. Thank you so much. I hope that people are not mistaking this. I think definitely some people are, but that's okay. All right, poll is almost up here and it's done. Wow. Chat, check this out. Okay, 70% at the end of the podcast said that the conservation of wolves is extremely important to them. They gave it a 5. 23% gave it a 4. 5% said neutral. And 2% said they don't care. And 0% gave it a 2, or one person gave it a 2. 98 Demon with 498, thank you so much. I will show you guys the results of the poll here. Let me just open both of them so you can see them. Okay, this was the original. Dun, 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 dun. Ta-da! This was the original, 41% gave it a 4, and at the end, 70% gave it a 5. Very nice. Thank you so much for that. That's awesome. I love having that poll. It was a really good idea. Okay, so the quiz is done. That is a way better system. We're pretty much ready to go. So if you'd like to participate in the quiz, it is based on the conversation that I had with Regan today. No trick questions. Oh, what on earth? What are you doing? Pretty easy. So the way that you win the quiz is by getting the most answers right the fastest. If you're not already subbed to my channel, I will gift you a sub to my channel. If you're already subbed, I'll gift you a sub to a channel of your choice, or you can ask me to donate an additional $5 to the Wolf Conservation Center today. Here we go. All right, sending rules to players. I will read the questions before they go to you. You have to enable access in order. You can do command quiz if you have questions, but you have to click enable access so that I know what your name is, and not just a random number that they assign you. Here we go. Start game. Ready? The first question is, what's the lifespan of wolves in the wild? Is it 18 to 20 years? Is it 10 to 12 years? Is it 4 to 6 years or 2 to 3 years? I'm sorry, I read that question a little bit too late, but we'll see. 3, 2, 1. The correct answer is just 4 to 6 years in the wild, which is kind of crazy, but it's kind of how it goes. If you take the lifespan of animals in the wild versus animals in captivity, it's quite a difference. 4 to 6 years in the wild, 138 people got that correct. Well done. Yeah, typing the answer in chat is not going to have you participate in the quiz. You have to do it, like, on your screen. 138 people. Nice. But who got it right the fastest? Contestant number. Okay. Ali by LOL got it right the fastest in this case because the rest are random numbers. The second question is, how many known red wolves are there in the wild? 1,600, 50, 8, or 100? These individual red wolves in the wild today. Known, anyway. 3, 2, 1. Lots of people saying easy, too easy. Was it really? Sleeping Smurf panic clicked. What, does Miz not have internet? 203 people got that correct. There are 8 known individuals of red wolves in the wild. What are you doing? That is so weird. Okay. Side Ramen won that one. Side Ramen is now in first place. He's so energetic today. I know. He's like, I'm putting weight on him so that he'll have more energy so that we can fly longer. I was supposed to fly today, but it was 80% chance of rain, so I couldn't. So I'm going to fly tomorrow instead. Woof, thank you for the tier one. For those of you who don't know, you can do Command Orion or Command Ori to see what this bird is about. He is a peregrine prairie falcon hybrid, and he's non-releasable because he's captive bred. He was donated to the rehab center that I work at as an ambassador, so I'm working on training him to hunt pigeons and to fly. So he doesn't live on this perch. I fly him as often as I can. Okay, so the next question is, how far away can you hear a wolf's howl? From 5 miles away, from 20 miles away, from 10 miles away, or from 1 mile away? Five, four, three, two, one. The correct answer is 10 miles away. Orin Woof, thank you for the subs. . 212 people got that correct. Well done. Is he upstairs? He's live, right? Josh 58 got that one right the fastest. He's on the phone. What? Somehow Fat King is in the lead. I don't know how that happened, but congratulations. Oh, he's doing a house tour. Okay, the next question is... two more questions, okay? See if you can pull ahead here. What is the biggest threat to wolves according to the guests today? Is it... nothing smile, fruit flies, humans, or deer? That is a tough one. Wait, he's doing a house tour. 3, 2, 1. There are boxes everywhere. Like, mailed boxes everywhere. Okay, the correct answer is humans, unfortunately, are the biggest threat to wolves. Wow. All right, 373 people got that right. Well done. This is, that's pretty overwhelming. Easy. Expect chaos. That's 1 out of 4 for expect chaos. Well done. 1 cram. Almost a perfect score there. And then side ramen. Fat King is still in the lead, followed by Side Ramen, followed by Ali Bai, followed by Dibs, then Snowball. Last question, can somebody pull above Fat King, please? Approximately how many total wolves are there in the continental United States? Are there 14,000, 18,000, 7,000, or 10,000? Kind of a tough question. 3, 2, 1. This is the last question. The correct answer is 7,000 wolves in the continental United States. Are you serious? Okay. That is the last question on the quiz today. 173 people got that correct. Who got it correct the fastest, though? Matt,
please. Can someone please do this? I love this thing. I absolutely love it.
Okay. Virtual Pop pulled ahead of all of our other contestants today. Virtual Pop with 99,000 points. How did you not show up? Side Ramen in second, Haze in third. Virtual Pop, I think you're already subbed. What do you want, buddy? What are you thinking? Where is he? Donate, you got it. All right, and that one's easy today because their PayPal is linked up, so all I gotta do is click on my donate link. Good job, Virtual. Smile. All right, sick. Two factor. Good job. Okay. Another $5 to the Wolf Conservation Center. That is. Here we go. $2,407.75. Amazing. Oh, Andrew, you missed the quiz. Sad. Okay. Yo, thank you for the sub. Okay, so thank you guys for watching today. Really, really good podcast. That was really fun. I'm excited to send them those stats and the poll. Because that's pretty cool. Again, go follow their Twitch channel. Mods, if you could link their Twitch channel, that would be great. They have live cams, so you can go watch the wolves, which is really neat. Max, thank you for the $6. $2,413.75. So she teased the next podcast guest a little bit unintentionally. If you guys remember that from the podcast, I'll leave it at that. However, I did reschedule it from next Friday to the following Friday because I am concerned about how long I will be live for my charity stream for my nonprofit. No, not Cranes. So I moved that because even I will be done by Friday. I'm starting on Wednesday. I hope that I'm done on Friday, but if I'm not, then I will, I mean, even if I was done before Friday's podcast, I don't think I'd want to go live and do a podcast. Alex, thank you so much. So I moved it. Anyway, the next stream, I'm flying Ori tomorrow morning. Again, if all weather permits and his weight permits, he should be fine. So I'll probably stream that in the morning. And then I'm also streaming at my desktop tomorrow for CS, I think, right? Isn't it tomorrow? Thanks. Tomorrow. I'm not ditching. I'll be live at like 11. Oh. I'll be live whenever I get back from flying Ori. And then I'm streaming the CS tournament. So I'll be live for that tomorrow. And then I will be on Miz's stream Sunday, Monday. Oh my gosh, I also have Housewives tomorrow. I guess I'm just gonna be live all day tomorrow then. Do I really wanna do that? I can be live. I'll go live for the CS tourney. Oh my gosh. I'm gonna stream in the morning with Ori, then I'm gonna go live at 12 for the CS tourney, and then wait, and then go live, and then be live for the Housewives podcast at what, 7? And I also need to work on this. It's Miz's present. That I don't remember if you saw. Or no, you did what? I worked on it on stream. So I have to do that. Yeah. It's a trial run for your fundathon. Yeah, so I guess I'll be live a lot of the day tomorrow, and then I will be live. I may or may not stream on Monday so that I can prepare properly for Wednesday. But I'll let you guys know when it gets closer. Wednesday is a big stream. Wednesday the 10th, please come back for the fundathon for my nonprofit. We're going to be live for a long time doing lots of content. We have a cool, fun cooking stream to do. We have lots of painting. We have the big auction. That's a really big deal. I am still working on getting a license to stream a conservation film. That's really good, but I'm not really sure that they understand what Twitch is, so I'm having a hard time with communication there. But if I can, then we'll have some people comfy stuff. The camera stuff should be worked out, so we'll see about that. But no freezing today, nothing wrong today. So I'll see you guys tomorrow for a bunch of the day, and then I probably won't see you on Monday. So that is the plan. I'm going to go ahead and raid Connor. Connor eats pants. And I will see you guys tomorrow. Probably for Ori's flying stream. If not, then in the early afternoon for CS. I have not played CS since the last time you witnessed me play CS. Like, my team has practiced. I didn't. So, like, I actually don't know when that was. Bye. I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you. Twitch is an untapped reservoir for doing good. Thanks for being here. Good podcast. Actually, really good podcast. I'm super pleased with it. Thanks, guys. Peace.
You guys are amazing.
Twitch is an untapped reservoir for doing good. Those of you who donate, thank you so much. It means the world to me, and it means the world to those guests. It's still really important that you're here and that you're watching, and that's amazing.